Welcome to the Willingdon On Mission podcast, a place where you can hear stories of how God is working and consider how he might be calling you to engage in his mission. You can find other episodes online at willingdon.org. Now, here's our host, John Best.
Well, welcome to the Willingdon On Mission podcast. My name is John Best. I'm one of the pastors at Willingdon Church. I am sitting with John Dick, who is one of Willingdon's missionaries and has been a member of Willingdon for a long time. John, could you just give us a little glimpse of who you are?
This is great to be here, John. I deeply appreciate this opportunity. So this is kind of fun. I am a missionary kid from Ecuador, grew up in Ecuador where my parents were missionaries. But I want to emphasize the fact that right now, family is certainly the best part of my life. I've been married to the same beautiful lady for 45 years. I have three adult children in different parts of the world. They're all married to wonderful people. And best part is I've got five beautiful grandchildren. They, after my wife, at this point, are the main focus in my life, quite honestly. In my previous life, I was a high school teacher for 33 years. I worked in Colombia, South America, worked also in Richmond. Currently, I am having the time of my life as I'm involved with World Serve Ministries in Cuba. I teach part-time in the Faculty of Education at Trinity Western University. I am also helping with the resettlement of refugee families that arrive in the Vancouver area through Journey Home Community. And I'm also involved right here in this great church we call Willingdon. This is my family. This is my home. As an informal note, I love real football. That's called football in the rest of the world, soccer here in Canada. I love coffee. I love to go for long walks, hikes in this beautiful area we are. I love reading, mainly nonfiction. So a lot of different areas of my life, but that's me.
Thank you. You mentioned that you serve with an organization called World Serve in Cuba. Can you tell us a little bit about World Serve and what you do with them in Cuba?
So there are two important things to realize about World Serve. First of all, it is not a missionary sending organization. World Serve works through its liaison connections with Christians in countries where the gospel is restricted. And Cuba is one of those. We work also in China and Vietnam and other places. And World Serve works mainly through the local church in these countries to try to help supply resources that they might need. How can we help the local church to grow? But it is they who give us the direction, the vision, the goals for what our ministry is going to be doing in their countries. I am a native Spanish speaker, so for me, working in Cuba, one of my main focuses is to develop relationships with Cuban leaders, with Cuban pastors, Christians there. So I serve kind of as the link for World Serve to help with church planting, the children's ministries that we have, microbusiness, Bible distribution, church planting pastors. But always, I'm listening to them telling me, this is what we need, this is how you can help us, and giving me direction for World Serve. Mm-hmm.
So Cuba, we in Canada may have different perceptions of Cuba. Some of us think of it simply as a great vacation location, and others might remember that there was there's communist pieces to the country. Give us a glimpse of some of the history of the church in Cuba, some of the spiritual landscape of that nation.
A little bit of background on Cuba might help, because it's, as Latin American countries go, and I've visited almost every Latin American country, so I think I can have a reasonable perspective. Cuba's kind of unique. It's got a very troubled and bloody history, going back a long ways to enduring the longest time as a Spanish colony, and that included brutal slavery practices which the Spaniards introduced. They have a history of domination by other countries, including Spain itself, United States, Soviet Union, and along the way have very rarely really clearly been themselves, their own country. Being an island, it's kind of got its own unique culture. In fact, even speaks a very distinctive form of Spanish. But interestingly enough, Cubans deeply desire spiritual connections. So they have background in Roman Catholic religion through Spain. They also have connections with what I would call occult West African practices through these the slaves who were imported from West Africa. They've kind of mixed those together. But the Cuban spirit is they're looking for something that helps them be more spiritual. Official policy, of course, as a communist country, is that they are atheist. And that is how the policy bears itself out. And they do allow religious freedom constitutionally, but that can be very restrictive. So the political situation, which currently is a part of the Cuban scenery, it impacts deeply how Cubans see themselves and see their place in today's world.
Thank you. That's a helpful scan. The Cuban church, can you give us a glimpse of some of the joys, some of the challenges that you've observed in the Cuban church?
Yeah, it's actually inspirational. One of the great challenges that they have as Christians there is really the lack of freedom to fully express their Christian faith. But in fact, that has actually served to strengthen the church. And I think this is something we need to think about in Canada. Persecution will always strengthen rather than diminish faith. I don't hear a lot of Canadians praying for persecution, but maybe we should. So in Cuba, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you better be one, because there are going to be consequences for you declaring your faith and that you are following Jesus. But the testimony of the church in Cuba is a very strong one. So I'd say the greatest joy that I see is this passion and joy and commitment that the Cuban church has to reach its fellow citizens. They are not going to be dissuaded by any government opposition. On the contrary, this serves for them to be able to really sort out, do I love Jesus enough to endure some persecution in this?
Mm-hmm. So I had a chance for the listeners to know, I had a chance to travel to Cuba with John. And one of the things that we saw were a whole bunch of microfinance projects. Mm-hmm. It's a term that you might be familiar with or you might not be familiar with. Microfinance, what is it? What is WorldServe doing with it? What are a story, or can you share a story or two around microfinance?
It's interesting, and perhaps the people who are listening to this particular podcast know something about microfinance, microbusiness. Essentially, what it is providing micro loans to people who can use this to start or enhance a business. So I would say right now in Cuba, that's one of WorldServe's strong points. And it emerges out of the understanding and realization that most of our Christians, because of socioeconomic conditions in Cuba, did not have the means to move ahead with being able to earn enough money to sustain their families, to sustain their churches. So WorldServe, legally have been able to provide small loans, maybe $500, maybe less. And we work with Christians who are involved in local churches. Some of them are starting businesses. Some of them are enhancing businesses. But the key point is they become financially self-sustaining. They can then help their church and even further extend out to their community and help their community. A couple of stories that help understand that. Something as simple as buying a mule for a farmer who works in the mountains, has his little farm in the mountains in eastern Cuba. He was always carrying on his back into town the stuff that he produced on his farm. And it was time consuming, as you can imagine. He could only make a couple of trips in a day to do that. So with a $300 loan, this man was able to buy a mule. He is now able to get 10 times what he was once able to do with a simple thing like having a mule. But he could never pay for it himself because he simply did not have the capital to do that. Another man who is in a wheelchair, through a set of circumstances in his life, he ended up in a wheelchair, very dependent, was trying to become independent in a home situation that was quite negative. Through a very simple loan, $200 or $300 that he got, he has set himself up with painting, not painting walls or anything, but actual art painting, which he did as a younger man. And now he's done that again and brought it back. And so he is able to sell his paintings enough to become self-sustaining. At this point, what he's really looking for is being able to get a mechanized wheelchair. We're hoping that we can help him with a loan to get that to enhance his what he does.
So these are, just to clarify, these are loans.
They're loans.
They're not just gifts of, cash. Do people repay? Like, does this actually happen?
That's the interesting thing, John, is that we were told that's not going to happen because it's a culture that doesn't have loans as part of its economic workings, one might say. The fact of the matter is we get a 93% repayment of loans at this point, which is unheard of, even in good microbusiness situations. And I want to give credit where credit is due. Our Cuban team, they are the ones who do this. We as Canadians are not a part of that. They are the ones who manage this. And so we are seeing, the understanding is, first of all, that there is no interest payment, and there's lots of reasons for that. But we are not there to make money. And so if you have a loan and you pay me back as the person who's managing this, I simply now lend it out to Luis over here, who can then use it for his purposes. So it's just this ongoing fund that has transformed people's lives. Mm-hmm. They realize now I can make my own money. But repaying the loan is a priority. And we may always make it clear that's not for us. It's just simply so that somebody else can borrow that same money. And so the money gets used. If you were to give as a donor, say, for example, $1,000, that $1,000 could end up being used 10, 15, 20 times over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I was very impressed as I saw and heard some of these stories that the Lord is actually using these microfinance loans to propel people into a different economic reality, mm-hmm. which then enables them to do ministry in a more focused sort of way.
It's
really good.
It's helping local churches, which are very small, very poor, to support themselves and support their pastor, which is a key thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that I saw when I was in Cuba, and we talked about it a lot on our trip, was children's ministry. And from my understanding, the stories you've told me, is that children's ministry is a huge part of how the Cuban church focuses its energy, but also has seen growth. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I love talking about children's ministry. And I will confess, of all the things that I'm involved with, I love this one the most. Perhaps that has something to do with being a teacher, being a dad, a grandparent. But children's ministry has allowed us to reach out to homes in the community which would never otherwise be reached. So the way it works is this. WorldServe provides funds through donors to local churches, which is managed by, again, a Cuban leadership team. So a local church can, for example, in the summer, have a, you know, 2-3 day day camp set up where kids from the community come and they have fun, they have games, they have clowns, they have snacks, they have gifts, draw these kids in. You have to be at one of those things to see it. 400 or 500 kids sometimes, who come to these things. I was just there in August where I attended one of those. And then the key thing in this is that each of those churches then follows up. So they have their summer event, which draws these hundreds of kids in, or it may be just 50, 60 kids, but it does bring in community people. And then they follow up and have other events, including Sunday school on Sundays, but other events that draw the kids back to the church during the rest of the year, which are also the resources, the funding is also provided by WorldServe. Because otherwise, these churches simply do not have the means to do that. They do not. Something as simple as stickers, as school utensils, and so on, are things that the kids love to come for. But they get the Bible stories as well, and to to be there and to see the joy on these kids' faces is something that is beyond comparison. I love being a part of this. So it's so rewarding on so many fronts. And the parents come, and the parents themselves are drawn into this and understand that the church is there to embrace and love their children. And so they will come in themselves and want to be a part of such a church community. It's an amazing outreach.
One of the things that I remember hearing and seeing pictures of anyway was that there are actually kids ministry teams of children that actually go yes. out into the community and do evangelism. And so these Cuban children's ministries are very, very intentional, it seems, about
they are.
Raising up kids that are well-discipled, and they're having an impact.
There are cell groups in many places in Cuba as a result of this children's ministry, cell groups that are purely children. Hmm. There is an adult present, but they are led by children, and children come, and children interacting with children. It's something we don't see in Canada.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting.
But it's amazing, and it grows, and yeah.
Yeah, wow. What are a couple of ways that Willingdon Church specifically has been engaged over the past couple of years?
Obviously, I'm a little biased because I attend Willingdon. I love Willingdon Church. I have just been so impressed and pleased in the variety of ways that Willingdon has become involved. And I would hope other churches, and we are very diligently seeking partnership mm-hmm. with churches. So Willingdon has partnered with us. I want to use that word very intentionally. Some examples. Through Willingdon School of the Bible, which was translated into Spanish, we had people from here for training purposes, training in theology, not training in North American methods, but training purely in biblical theology. That has been foundational. There's a tremendous need for training in Cuba because you're getting new pastors all the time who need that background. Willingdon Church also a few years ago and currently as well raised some money for helping to repair some of the house churches, particularly those I remember back in the day that had been affected by a hurricane. Went in, and one of our brothers here named Bob Davies, he and I spent a lot of time traveling around, and what are the needs? How can we help? So repairing house churches, which were just a shambles. We've had from Willingdon Church several micro-business teams that have gone in to do teaching. That's a huge deal, because one of the things we're realizing with micro-business is that there's very little business training in a country that has this kind of background. So we need people who are experts, who are business people themselves, love God to do that training.
So this is a very interesting mission engagement
yes.
potential or idea. I think a lot of people would assume, well, I'm not a gifted evangelist, or I'm not a pastor, preacher sort of type. I don't like kids ministry, so how could I potentially engage? I'm a business guy. This is an interesting way that you might be able to engage.
And I think of the last one I was on where I saw some of the people walk away and say, I never knew that. They were just in awe of what they had just learned. Stuff that we take for granted here, it's new to them, and it's not that they aren't intelligent people. They're very intelligent, very well educated. So training them is not a problem. Mm-hmm. And I had one really joyful experience this summer with a group of youth from Willingdon Church. What a delight to be with these teenagers, and they were just such great ambassadors for Willingdon, for Jesus, for Canada. And they helped out with children's ministry and uncomplaining, spent hours in the sun doing some construction stuff. That was delightful. I hope we do that again. So Willingdon has been very much engaged on the ground, understands the idea of going in there and serving rather than taking over and just meeting needs there.
Awesome. May that continue.
Absolutely. Yeah. I look forward to that.
Give us a couple of ways that we can pray for Cuba.
A very immediate one, and this is September 2017. Cuba has just had Hurricane Irma knock about the whole country, actually. Even as we speak, about 70% of the country does not have electricity as a result of that. So we need to pray for recovery from the hurricane. This is not the first hurricane. I've already been there through five different hurricanes, and it always is years probably they never really completely recover. So even though Irma is the one right now, there will be more yet. Always
kind of every September.
September, October. Yeah, if you want to go during hurricane season, that's a good time to go. But we need to pray for that. A second one, probably more significant as far as ministry is going is concerned, is I've mentioned our Cuban teams. We're big on working through Cuban teams, whether it's microbusiness or children's ministry or overseeing church planting pastors. They need wisdom. They work in under significant risk, some tenuous political situation at times. How do we help them best? The wisdom that they need in giving direction and just being able to continue doing what they're doing. And then one for the future. Cubans themselves have a vision for reaching the rest of the world. They have a deep desire to go out, and they are so well-suited, uniquely suited to do exactly that. You and I, John, are quite bluntly white guys. Cuban people are accepted in most parts of the world. And so I'm praying that somehow between North American churches and Cuban churches, we can partner in seeing Cuban missionaries go out and just flood the world. That's a future prayer request of theirs first and mine as well.
Thank you. So my challenge to those of you who are listening is, as soon as this podcast is done, could you spend 5 minutes praying for the nation of Cuba, some of these things that John has outlined. Can you close us off with a story of something that that you've seen God do?
In a word, I'm going to use the word transformation, because any story I tell you is going to be transformation that is so visible. So a very dear friend of mine, his name's Javier. He's a pastor of a church in a difficult part of the city of Cienfuegos. Javier, as a young man, was a formidable, feared thug who fought anybody and everybody for any reason. And when he became drunk and would lose control of himself, he was the toughest guy in town. And to compound things, he was very, very good at martial arts. And as Javier has said to me, he says, "John, I have blood on my hands." So this is a man who was in a very difficult situation. He had been abusive to his wife, his family. And then some things happened in his personal life. He was absolutely broken by circumstances. I won't go through all those, but some of it had to do with loss of a family member. And he recognized his own depraved lifestyle was going nowhere and knew he was going to die at some point because of the kind of lifestyle that he led. The transformation has been remarkable. He met Jesus, was total and complete. His marriage has been restored. When I go meet Javier and his wife, the joy that is on their faces tells me the story. They don't have to fake that they somehow are doing well. They are doing well. And he works in this little broken down house church on the outside of Cienfuegos. We've had the opportunity to send a couple of work teams in from different churches here in Canada to help restore that place. We have given him a microbusiness loan to buy a horse and buggy. Yes, horse and buggy, which is a main form of transportation in that city. Believe it or not, it is.
I got to ride on his horse and buggy when we were there, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You did. So Javier goes out on the streets with his horse and buggy. He makes money. But more importantly, it's this great time because he's got these passengers on his horse and buggy. He witnesses to them as a pastor, as a Christian. And he was mentioning to me of one night he picked up this broken down old man who was a Communist Party leader, had been in the army. He was a military man, a general, and he was broken. And through Javier's witness, this man accepted Jesus. So that's the kind of person Javier is. So I use him as an example of a man who was broken and living totally the wrong life. And here he is. He's in a place that most of us would not want to live in, but he is joyful. Every time I see him and he hugs me, and he's a big, strong man, so I know I've been hugged. But I love hanging out with Javier because the joy of Jesus in his life is evident.
Well, thank you, John, for your time. It's just wonderful to be able to hear some of what the Lord is doing through your ministry and what the Lord is doing in Cuba. May the Lord continue to work mightily yes. in you and
thank
through you.
You.
And Willingdon is excited to be able to stand with you and to participate in what God's doing in Cuba as well. So thank you.
Thank you
and,
for the opportunity.
If anyone is listening that would like to engage with something that you've heard, yes. Find me and yes. I'll put you in touch with John.
Absolutely. I would love to do that. As you can tell, I love talking about this kind of stuff. And it's not about me. It's about what God is doing there.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Willingdon On Mission podcast. We hope you have been inspired by your time with us today. To learn more about Willingdon's outreach ministries or to hear more episodes of this podcast, find us online at willingdon.org.